right now on VFN TV, the Planned Parenthood that our government wanted to defund, Congress presented it before the president, but we're going to be talking about how it ended up. Did the veto make it or not on today's program? In addition, we'll be talking about the BDS movement in regards to boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel and how people are being involved. And what does that really mean? And finally, we're going to be talking about today, did you know that we're sending money to the Palestinian people along with Europe to be able to help them build their sewage treatment plants, but they're not doing that? We have somebody from Israel that will be talking about where that sewage is going into the rivers and into the Mediterranean and other places. Tragedy, I know. But right now on VFN TV, join us.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this. If God's on your side, you're on the majority side. No matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me. And when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate this city to you.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America.
Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. I want to thank you so much for joining us today in the audience. Today, we get to see firsthand, finally, after about 7 years, Congress presented the bill to defund Planned Parenthood and passed it before Congress, but when it made it to the president's desk, he vetoed it. You have to have two-thirds of a majority vote, I believe, to be able to override a veto. And they weren't able to do it, sad to say. But at least we know the issue and the problem is with those that voted to be able to continue to fund it and our president who said, this is what we want to do. As a matter of fact, let's take a look.
We want to make it very clear to the American people where we stand and where the president stands. That's why we put this on his desk. We want them to know that we are standing for righteousness, we're standing for truth, we're standing for the lives of the unborn. And we're standing for a budget that is one that will bring accountability to our government. And that's what we're about.
That's just, you know, it's so important for us. That's our representatives. They said, listen, we want to find out what everybody stands. And that's what they knew, that what potentially he was going to do. But also it revealed and kind of let us know who else in Congress and who else was in the Senate that was standing against the life of the unborn child. So now it gives you a chance to be able to, when you vote, to be able to know, well, I'm not going to vote for somebody who's not going to vote for this child to have life, to take the life in the womb, or to fund something like Planned Parenthood, where allegedly now, it's allegedly that these videos that you saw on VFN TV, where these investigators went in to be able to record them, where they're actually selling, you know, allegedly selling baby body parts that they're aborting out of the womb of these women. And when you see the baby that they're talking about, their life's taken, the arms and the legs, and it just breaks your heart. And it's like, we have to begin to value life again. And what I found out is if we don't value somebody else's life, they don't value our life. And we have to start treating all life with great value again. God creates life. We need to be able to value that again. You know, shifting over to Israel, you know, we always want to keep you informed of what's taking place in Israel. Do you know that our government supports the Palestinian people? Of course, we support Israel as well, and Europe does as well. But we actually have given them money over the years to be able to treat the sewage that's produced within the Palestinian people there in their communities. And they're taking that money, reports are, from Sharon Haskell of the Likud party in the Knesset in Israel. And she's explaining to us what's happening. And raw sewage, you got to listen to this, raw sewage is coming out of the Palestinian people, communities, and it's going into the Mediterranean, it's going into the rivers, and it's going to destroy. She says it might not even be able to fix this problem. As a matter of fact, let's join her right now in Israel, in Jerusalem. Let's take a look.
Hello and welcome to Ask the Source. I'm your host, Josh Reinstein, and we're here in a beautiful day on our rooftop studio in Jerusalem. My guest today is member of Knesset, Sharon Haskell. Member of Knesset Haskell, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for inviting me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I was born in Canada. I grew up here in Israel since I was 1 year old. I joined the military at the age of 18. I served for 3 years as a combat soldier here around Jerusalem during the second Intifada. That was the time of the bombings as well, the suicide bombers. After my military service, I moved to the States. I lived in California for a year. From there, I moved to Australia. I lived in Australia for about 6 years, training as a veterinarian nurse. I worked in Sydney, and I volunteered in an animal welfare NGO. About 4 years ago, I decided to move back here to Israel to make a change as well in the life of all Israelis.
Member of Knesset Haskell, you're a member of the Likud party, but one of the main focuses that you're looking into is environmental problems that have occurred because of the signing of the Oslo Accords. Can you tell us about the paper that you've developed?
Okay, so one of the problems it's not a problem, in the Oslo Accord, the Palestinian Authority committed to build treatment plants for all the sewage around their territories. And so about 20 years ago, since then, nothing has been actually done. There is sewage, open sewage in the cities that is flowing into the rivers. Those rivers end up in major Israeli cities like Tel Aviv, like Caesarea, like Be'er Sheva, and in the Mediterranean Sea.
What kind of impact would this have on the environment here in Israel?
Okay, so it's a major impact. First of all, the environmental impact in the rivers and in the seas, the destruction of vegetations, the destructions of animal, of sea life, not to talk about the soil. Now, we're not just talking about home sewage. We're talking about industrial sewage. This is sewage that contains chemicals. It contains poisons. It contains carcinogenic chemicals. And so it can be really dangerous for humans, vegetations, and animal all around and wherever it spreads.
The money given to the PA comes from countries like America and Europe. Why wasn't more done to make sure that this money that was designated for environmental projects actually went to the projects?
Okay, so it didn't actually, it wasn't monitored, the money. The United States and Europe were giving all these funds into the Palestinian Authority every time there were claims that it's not enough money to build those treatment plants or it's not enough in order to maintain those treatment plants. And we see that it's been 20 years and nothing had been really done still till now.
What can be done?
Okay, so first of all, it's important to write about it, to bring the awareness about it as well. Me, with the paper that I've that I was writing with a group of researchers and with the help of the Knesset, we formed a paper that we are sending now to different parliaments around Europe, around America, to tell them to stop giving funds for something that is not being treated. More than that, it's important to raise these issues. Some of these problems with the sewage might be irreversible problems. For example, there's the water aquifer under the mountain of Judea and Samaria is one of the biggest water supplies to Israel and to the Palestinians as well. If any of this contamination enters into this aquifer, this is going to be an irreversible damage. These clean waters are not going to be, we're not going to be able to use them. More than that, some of the Palestinians are actually using footage of open sewage, you know, of dirt and pollution, and saying it's all of Israel's fault. And it's important to raise this awareness so that they know it's not actually Israel that has caused this problem. It's the Palestinian Authority that is not making what it's what it guaranteed to do in these agreements. More than that, it doesn't let Israel help them, because Israel numerous times has tried to treat this problem. It actually even built different infrastructure around the Jewish areas. In order to plug the Palestinians' villages to that to the Jewish settlements around as well, and they refused to do it. Every single solution that Israel offered, they refused to actually cooperate on it. So I think one of the main thing that needs to be done is international pressure, bringing the awareness of everybody to this issue.
You know, at the same time that we're seeing the Palestinian Authority abusing all these different funds, whether it be for education or environment or really everything, there's a real double standard coming from Europe where they're labeling products from Judea and Samaria. Why the double standard?
Okay, so it's really a question that we need to ask them. First of all, we need to understand that it's a racist issue. Because we've noticed as well with the BDS, they're not actually boycotting, for example, if they're boycotting academics, people who come to lecture in university, they don't boycott Israeli Arabs who come to lecture there. They're boycotting Jews. Lecturer who come, Jews Israeli who come to lecture there. Same with industrial products, you know, they're not boycotting products from Israeli Arabs factories, they're boycotting Jewish Israeli factories. And so they're not actually boycotting Israel, they're boycotting Jews. This is the first issue. The second issue is really a double standard. They're not labeling, you know, in Morocco. They're not, they didn't request to label in Turkey, what comes from north of Cyprus. And so this is a real question that we need to ask the European Union and the European parliaments.
Member Crescent Haskell, there are literally tens of millions of people watching the show. What message do you have for our viewing audience?
I think my message would be all of nations, all of people who believe in the same shared values of democracy and freedom need to join forces together. Don't leave us out. We are part of the free world. We are part of the democratic world. And so by trying to boycott, to single us out, you're actually damaging the only democracy within the Middle East.
Thank you, member of Knesset Haskell, for being on the show. And thank you for tuning in to Ask the Source. I'm your host, Josh Reinstein. Now back studio.
Welcome back. Listen, think about this. Think about Israel and what's taking place. What they're saying is they need our government's help. They need the 530 folks we sent to Washington, D.C. to get behind the Palestinian authorities not doing what they need to do with the money that we sent them, that Europe sent them, and other countries sent them. Imagine if our drinking water, like Flint, Michigan, has lead in their drinking water. Now imagine having all these chemicals in the sewage just pouring down into your drinking water. That's what's taking place. At the same time, all these folks are standing up for boycott, divestment, and sanctions, the BDS movement, which we're going to talk about after this program. But it really puts things into context. Instead of trying to boycott Israel, divest from Israel, and bring sanctions on Israel, you need to take the money that your tax dollars gave them to be able to take care of their own sewage and waste and chemicals. Join us after the break. We're going to talk about the BDS movement taking place against Israel. Make sure you join us.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis, you know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered, you can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then green room. There's, you know, some interviews that we had that we ask other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the green room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says: when you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. It is so good to be able to hear straight from Israel.
Yes.
And when the government leaders talking about, you know,
straight from Jerusalem.
Yes, yeah, straight from Jerusalem. And she is, you know, Sharon Haskell. Mm-hmm. And to watch the journey, because Israel, you know, you're looking at what, 60 years old, that she got her, she's lived in California. She served in the military for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went to California for a year, and then she went to Australia to get her degree in veterinarian medicine. I guess that's what it was. And then she came back to serve her country.
Beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful. I mean,
that is so beautiful. It sets a great example. If, in fact, you know, this thing that Israel has about, you know, mandatory military service, I believe it's 2 or 3 years or something.
Yes.
For everyone. If, you know, and if our military, for example, right now, what, you know, we totally have the greatest respect for all of our men and women
mm-hmm.
that are serving our country. But what our leaders are doing, you know, to the military, they're just twisting it and turning it and forcing things. And it's like, you know, it's not necessarily a place that you want your daughter to serve for 2 years mm-hmm. or 3 years or 4 years. But that can change, by the way. All that can change.
Sure.
And, but it just kind of sets you in a pace. And this early age, she says, all that accomplished because at 18 years old, she went straight in and began to learn those principles. And I can imagine what it's like, you know, in the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, learning how to, because, you know, it's what, 60 miles wide at its widest point.
Yeah.
You got to be alert.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people jumping out with knives at the bus stops and just constantly working on the southern border, what's happening, coming up there, watching. I mean, it's amazing what it takes. Well, I really admire those, mm-hmm. the IDF. And we follow them during that, what was it called, with a...
Operation Protective
Shield.
Shield, yeah. In fact, they have organizations where if you feel you want to support the IDF, you can go. You can go to Israel, and you can actually support them from here and do all kinds of things for them. That's the Israeli military. But
Operation Protective Edge. And, people in America are going over... America are going over there and enlisting... And in the IDF and serving to defend Israel and then coming back. I mean, you can do that.
Sure can.
And where some others are going and registering to join ISIS and they can't, I don't believe they can't come back. I don't know. It depends on who our next leader is going to be.
Yeah.
But the
it's interesting what the Palestinians are doing. All this money that's going there and they're not investing to take care
and
of the sewage.
Sewage. I mean, the sewage and chemicals and all these things are being... And it's like somebody that stayed too long, that don't care about your house, tearing it up. It's just time to go. I mean, look at all the land that's available with the the Arab League of Nations.
22 nations all across North Africa and the Middle East. And it kind of reminds me of what happened with Hamas. All the money that was given to Hamas to build infrastructure, to build schools and mosques, whatever. They built underground tunnels to attack Israel.
Well, from reports are during Mecca, they had enough housing built by temporary tents, air-conditioned tents, real fancy stuff, that they could have brought all of the Palestinian Authority's people there and had them there. In addition, they could have even taken in
all the refugees.
Refugees there. But they openly, we're not going to take them in.
Mm-mm.
And it's like, this is Mecca. This is where Saudi Arabia, this is where most of this stuff is rooted. Mm-hmm. And radical Islam is rooted, reportedly, that's being trained up and taught there.
Wahhabism and all that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you won't even take, it's amazing. It's totally amazing what's going on. Israel is, God has touched Israel in such a special way that they don't get offended, but they just keep plugging away and doing what's right. And they're saying, listen, we're going to need international help. There's so many people, John, right now that says we need to get around the Palestinian Authority.
Mm.
What, so they can pollute more, give them more money so they can damage more, shoot more missiles going out? I'm not shooting these missiles coming into Israel. Why not support Israel? Well, they're going to bless the Palestinian people. They're going to bless the whole region. Yeah. You know, when you support Israel, their evidence is, and we've shown it over and over and over again on BFN TV, that if you bless Israel, you're going to be blessed. Of course, God says if you do bless Israel, he'll bless you. But they just outright just bless you. They bless us. You think about the little, even down the little cherry tomatoes.
Cherry to my favorite in my salad.
If you eat a cherry tomato, that came out of Israel.
My favorite, yeah.
Drip irrigation. If you think about drip irrigation in your garden where just little drips of water come out of a hose, that was invented in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Filtration systems, facial identification, ability to walk, mechanical limbs that help people that are paralyzed, able to walk.
So many
different things, and they're just blessing everyone. And if somebody's against that, and Israel's going, listen, just become a citizen of Israel.
Yeah.
Just become a citizen of Israel. You can integrate into the culture here, and everything that we have is yours. Even to the point where those that did do that, some of the Arab people did that, they're in government. They're in leadership. They have businesses there. And it's just an amazing country.
What also shows you, too, what's happening against Israel, this BDS, this boycott, diverse, and sanctions, you know, agenda, is the power of words. Don't say words don't matter. This is all about a narrative. Without firing a single shot, they're still, you know, committing war, if you will, against Israel, the war of words, and changing the narrative so that we would think that Israel is the aggressor, when it's actually the complete opposite.
You really want to think, it's not really a speech. I mean, people are not that gullible where if they just hear something, they believe it. But after a while, you just got to understand that's exactly how things are. I mean, even God said he chose from the foolishness of what is preached to be able to spread his message. So it's the spoken word. Words are not just words, they're spirits. He says, the flesh counts for nothing, but the words I speak to you are life. And so you can speak words of life and death. So it does matter who's pouring into your ear. It does matter who you're broadcasting into your home every single day. It does matter what you're listening to continually. And if you're hearing continually, you know, the opposite of what's true, you're going to begin to believe that. One of the rules for radical Alinsky model that our president actually taught, along with Hillary Clinton herself, and she did a term paper on Saul Alinsky. Her thesis in her graduation was, if you tell a lie long enough, people believe it to be true.
Yeah.
And
Hitler followed that to the T.
And so what you're seeing is, so all these lies are being told about Israel, and these truths are not being spoken about the Palestinian Authority and Hamas and what's going on. So now you have people wanting to be a part, some people be a part of DBS. And the way that you stop this is you educate everybody. What does that really mean and what's going on? They use these kind of abbreviations, but this boycott, divestment, and sanctions. As a matter of fact, take a look at this and you'll better understand what people are trying to do to Israel. Now look at the good they're doing. You just heard one of the government leaders saying, you know, we want to be able to help them. You know, we need the government, the other national governments to help us in this, but look what they're doing now in trying to bring this BDS movement. Listen up.
Those who hate the free and democratic state of Israel have dreamed up yet another way to try to destroy it. It has an innocuous name, but not an innocuous purpose. It's called the BDS movement. The initials stand for boycott, divest, and sanction. Created by Palestinian academics, it calls on individuals, on companies, on colleges, churches, cities, and even countries to starve Israel economically and isolate it socially. The ostensible reason for this is Israel's alleged mistreatment of Palestinians living in the areas of the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Now, I support the idea of the creation of a Palestinian state. Actually, so do most Israelis. And I'm not particularly supportive of the West Bank settlement policy of the Israeli government. But I condemn the BDS movement in the strongest possible terms. Anyone who has any interest in creating a climate for peace in the Middle East should also condemn the BDS movement, as should anyone who simply understands the immorality of singling out Israel, of all the world's countries, for economic strangulation. Here's why. First, the BDS movement ignores historical reality. You don't have to delve too deeply into late 20th century history to learn that Israel gained control over the West Bank only after it had been attacked by Jordan in the 1967 Six-Day War. No attack by Jordan? No Israel in the West Bank. It's as simple as that. Furthermore, Israel, on at least two separate occasions, most recently in both 2000 and 2008, has tried to give almost all of the land it acquired in 1967 in the West Bank back to the Palestinians. It's the Palestinians who have rejected each of these offers. In other words, there's no need for the BDS movement, since Israel wants to give the Palestinians their own country. Israel only asks to be able to live in peace in return. Second, the BDS movement ignores current reality. Israel is one of the freest countries in the world, and by far the freest in the Middle East, an area where there's precious little freedom. In a world full of human rights violators of the most blatant kind, why would you want to boycott a country that has a boisterous free press, is a model of women's and gay rights, and whose Arab citizens, one-fifth of the country, are the freest in the Arab world? Let me repeat, the Arab citizens of Israel, who make up one-fifth of Israel's population, are freer than all Arabs living in Arab countries around the world. Now, the common sense principle of human rights is deal with the worst first. By this principle, there should be BDS movements against North Korea, against Syria, against Sudan, or a dozen other countries. Israel wouldn't even make the list. Of course, Israel has flaws, but like all vibrant democracies with regular elections and functioning courts of law, it makes a constant effort to correct them. Let's not forget that Israel did not build a security fence on the border of the West Bank or establish checkpoints because it wanted to keep hard-working Palestinians out of Israel. It did these things because it wanted to keep terrorists out of Israel after enduring years of horrific suicide bombings following the peace talks that the Palestinians rejected in 2000. Third, the BDS movement makes peace much less likely. Why? Because the Palestinians, if they believe that the BDS movement can strangle Israel economically and make it an international pariah, why should they ever negotiate? Why not just wait until Israel has no choice but to capitulate? But the BDS movement doesn't just hurt Israel, it hurts everyone. Israeli scientists and engineers are leading innovators in the fields of medical technology, in the fields of renewable energy, water conservation. The BDS movement wants to keep these scientists, as well as Israeli historians and other academics, from sharing their innovations and their knowledge and their insights with the world, with you. But the BDS activists don't care about helping the world. They care about hurting Israel. This leads to one final issue that has to be confronted, the motives of the people behind the BDS movement. Here, those tempted to support this movement must be very careful. The leaders of the BDS movement have no interest in a two-state solution. They reject the concept of Israel as the nation-state of the Jewish people. The BDS movement deliberately fools people. It claims to be opposed only to Israel's settlement policy, when in fact it's opposed to Israel's very existence. You may have sympathy for the Palestinians and wish to help them. I share that sympathy. But by aligning yourself with the BDS movement, you are aligning yourself with people who don't want to see both sides thrive. They want to see one side, Israel, destroyed. They don't merely want to see a change in policy. They want to see an end to the nation state of the Jewish people. Do you want to spend your time and moral energy supporting such a cause? For decent people, the answer is no. I'm Alan Dershowitz, professor of law at Harvard University for Prager University.
We're so excited about this offer we have available for our VFN TV partners. For your partnership for any amount whatsoever, we have this offer. We'll send to you DVD or online where you can watch it. It's called One Thing in 2016. Offer 2001 is learning the keys to success, prosperity, and peace no matter what or who may come your way. This is so important to be able to keep your peace and focus on the Lord, just like David did. When all these things were happening against King David, he was just doing his job, but an entire government was coming against him led by Saul. Guess what he did? He focused on the one thing. This is an encouraging word. We have it for you for any gift whatsoever. Just go to VFNTV.com, upper right-hand corner, click on partnering, or you can actually call 844-408-3688 or write to VFNTV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. One thing in 2016. God bless.
I'm Pastor Lynn Ballinger, Jubilee Church right here in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for watching VFN TV.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Protect your kids. I'm John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. And while it's important to shelter your children, Dr. Julie Slattery says you and your spouse need to agree on a game plan for your teen, who demands more adult responsibilities.
I grew up in a Christian home. I was used to being somewhat sheltered from some of the things of the world. He was thrown right in the middle of it. And so his approach is much more, let's expose the boys to things and coach them through them so that they can make their own decisions, whereas I am more apt to want to protect and shelter.
You and your mate need to discuss how to best transfer decision-making to your teen. Try to be on the same page and give gentle, loving guidance as a parent. That can go a long way in reassuring your child that you believe they have what it takes to be a successful adult. More trusted advice for training teens at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
I'll never forget, I read this book once, and the author asked this question. I don't remember much about the entire book. I was in college at the time. And he says, in the book, what is one thing that if you started doing every single day for the rest of your life, what's the one thing that will change your life? And that one sentence just exploded within inside of me. I go, whoa, I was in my 20s. That's powerful, that's deep. And I go, what's the one thing that if I just started doing every single day would change my life? I got thinking. I said, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I said, I bet if I read my Bible every day, I bet you that would change my life. And that was the beginning.
Wow.
That was the beginning. One little statement. Let me tell you something. We have a simple plan for you. You can get that at iabide.org. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing. And you will learn how to hear God's voice, connect with God, and write down what he's telling you and have a relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you allow God's word to get on the inside of you, it'll change your life because he is the word.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I have to ask you right now, if I'm talking to you right now and you're near your toaster, you need to step away. You don't want your toaster to hear this conversation. I'm serious. John, what is this stuff about your toaster being subpoenaed or what's going on here?
Well, The Atlantic just wrote an article.
So this is serious?
This is serious. This is the real deal. The Atlantic wrote an article about how police now, because of all the information and all the things that are available on the Internet of Things, that it's easier to get a subpoena to gather data than it is to go and get a search warrant, which is required by the Fourth Amendment. And so,
but you got to have evidence to prove that a crime is or has. I mean, what kind of crime can you commit around your toaster?
Yeah, well, that's the whole point.
Although
I cooked some raisin toast this morning. It looked like a crime, but oh, it was burnt.
Let me tell you, this is serious because what they're
finding. So if you burn your toast, you're going to be like, they're going to.
No, what? I mean, it's all these devices that are available right now, whether it be a smartphone, smart TVs, all these, even appliances, they're all connected to the internet. And so today, more Americans are sharing all of their data on basically cloud computing.
Oh, so the toaster is hooked up to the internet.
Everything's hooked up to the internet, and even more. even more things are coming in the future where
we're just getting lazy.
Hey, let me tell you something. This is getting
just
bad.
That is just outright.
Yeah.
I mean, all you gotta do is go put the toaster down. What would you need to hook up to the internet for?
I'm surprised we even have toasters today. But we
have. There's nothing
them.
Like a piece of toast.
Yeah. Don't have toast, but
yeah.
But
you're strange.
Yeah.
You don't like mayonnaise either.
No. nothing white and slimy.
Obviously, I do.
Yeah.
Okay. So how is it hooked up to the internet? What's this?
Well, let's get past the fact that toaster's hooked up to the internet. Okay.
Okay. All right.
The idea here, the concept,
oh, there's an
the
idea.
Big picture here.
Got it.
Is that all of our devices, more and more, as
what's a device? I mean, if some people right now might not even know what you're talking
well,
about.
Well, I'm talking about things that we interact with every day that we think make our lives easier.
Such as?
Television, iPad, phones, these Fitbit and these devices that we wear around our wrist when we're working out or that tracks our movement.
You know, well, I was at the gym last week, you know, and I was...
No.
Sounded good, didn't it?
No, it didn't.
No, I was visiting gym.
Visiting.
I was visiting
gym. You're watching
gym.
The gym on TV.
I was just
you're
visiting
watching.
Gym. That's too much. That's
okay,
yes.
Too much. Well, anyway, we're freely giving up all of this data. And so what police are finding
out... The more
out,
data you give up, the more freedom you give up.
Oh, it's really crazy.
The more data you give, the more information about yourself that you give away, whatever percentage that is, that's the amount of freedom that you're given.
And if it's on the internet, it's open. Even like security systems. Today, people are like the fact that they can access, you know, a camera to their house from their iPhone. Well, if you can access it from your phone, rest assured that somebody else can too.
Well, there was an article on The Blaze where they have a search engine that you can search for cameras that are online. So you can look, they were saying that they're able to look in wherever you got a camera at. They can look in the business. They can look in your home. You can, wherever you have security cameras at, your computer cameras at, webcams, if they're not password protected. And I guess a lot of people just stick it up and don't put a password on it.
And
I'm thinking, my goodness, first of all, who would, you know, you, I think
who
this,
does that stuff?
Well, no, I mean, what you think, what you think. I mean, the most popular television today is people looking through cameras, looking at people living their life. What they call reality shows. Yeah. And it's like, you know, they're watching like the Ramos reality show in your home. Like,
it's not that exciting. It's
like, he's not eating toast today, I
not
see.
Not eating toast today.
Doesn't eat any mayonnaise, I see.
Not that exciting.
Right, right.
But
yes.
Electronics Communications Act of 1986. This is an old...
You know how much technology's happened since 1986?
Well, that's the point, right? Right now, they say in technology today that if the item is free, then you're the product. If the product is free, you're the product, which means that all those free emails that you have from Google and Yahoo and all, they're not really free.
Free credit reports.
They're using
free apps.
Your data, right, to advertise to you.
Or gather your data.
Yeah, that too. But
these little apps come up and they go, hey, can we access all of your contacts and people that you ever knew and everything about them? People go,
yeah, sure.
Push the button. It's like,
and all your contacts go away or they have access to it. But what happens with this Electronics Communications Act, basically the act says that any of your emails that are on Google server, let's say, past 6 months, they're considered abandoned, which means that if police or the government...
means you forgot your password.
Yeah. Which means if the police or the government want access to those emails...
No longer yours anymore.
No, they can have them. So, delete your emails.
So, but the Fourth Amendment, you know, read the Fourth Amendment to us. I mean, you can probably see it on your screen right here while we're talking about it. But this is so important
because
when somebody says, I have constitutional rights here.
Yeah.
Well, out of the 10 Bill of Rights...
Sure.
One of them is the 10 Amendments is the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. And the Founding Fathers wanted to have this in the founding documents because prior to this, A British soldier could just walk up and just make himself at home in your home, take your food, can just search your pockets, go through your files. It was just, that was just a That's normal it. Way of things oh, yeah. happening. They said, we don't want a country like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens if all your paperwork now is digital paperwork?
Yeah. Well, let's read the Fourth okay. Amendment.
What's it say?
The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by the oath or affirmation, in particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
This is important because you think about a search warrant, you know, coming from my experience in law enforcement, that you had to write down, first of all, there had to be probable cause to believe that a crime has been committed or is about to be committed. You can't just go, you know,
I have a feeling.
I have a feeling that, you know, he doesn't look Stevie. I'm going to go, yeah. I'm going to search for, and so you have to go write down on a piece of paper, they call it a warrant, and you write down, you know, I believe on such and such day that so and so, you know, whatever particular crime it is, according to statute, such and such in your state. And then you take that to a judge and the judge reads it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they sign it. And at that point, it becomes
authorizing
it. There's a warrant. So the judge that you elected looks at it. The sheriff or the chief of police that you actually mm-hmm. appointed or elected looks at it. You know, and so there's a lot of hands touching that.
Sure.
And then, and this is because of the Fourth Amendment. And then when they go into the house, say that the search warrant said, you know, that you could, if you're looking for, we're trying to find an elephant. And so you go in this house and you can only look by law for where an elephant can fit. So if you're walking around this house looking for an elephant, and I've seen some houses on Discovery Channel that can hold a few Discovery Channel that can hold a few elephants, it's like, it's amazing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we need 17 bedrooms. It's like, there's just two of you.
And you got to clean them.
And yes, they probably don't clean their room. And yeah. So the law says if they go and look inside of a closet that's too small for an elephant, whatever they find and discover in that closet, it cannot be used against you because they went beyond their realm of approval of that reason why their reasonable search that they presented to that judge.
And what you can have in that closet, it could actually be illegal, but, yes. but because...
It's called poison fruit, so yeah. you couldn't use that. And that's a good thing because it would be just like the British soldiers. If they thought you had something in your closet or in the jewelry box, for example, if you're looking for elephants and you go and look into their chest of drawers where they keep folded clothes, you know an elephant can't fit in there.
Right.
But that you find maybe some illegal substance or something's going on, you cannot use that, will not be charged. It's called forbidden fruit. You know, this is what I believe to be true. And then, but if you did walk in a house where elephants belong and you just happen to see illegal guns and drugs and kilos and all that kind of stuff in the wide open area, then that would be, you know, something that would be, you know, you can be charged somebody with that. Mm-hmm. That's going to hold up. But think about this. Now imagine if it's a digital elephant,
yeah,
a digital jewelry box, and a digital closet. And now you're looking like this is a whole new realm because how big is, how many bits of information, how big is that for an elephant versus how many bits of information, some O's and ones for a closet or O's and, I mean, it's just like, this is a whole nother, because it's papers and effects. And the truth is, if you don't believe digital documents can be held up in court, watch what happens in society.
Well, look what happened to Petraeus. I mean,
yes, he got, it was strictly off of a calendar, digital things.
A Yahoo email address.
Sony got hacked digitally by, mm-hmm. you know, allegedly mm-hmm. North Korea, China, possibly. But that was a huge, that gathered more people in the White House than did, you know,
ISIS.
ISIS. And so it does count now. We're not protected in those areas right now. Our data is not protected. Our papers, our digital papers, our digital elephants
sure.
are not protected. And we have to begin to talk to our Congress and our representatives.
And you have the right to privacy.
Well, yeah, right now you do. But the thing about it is because we have not yet put laws into effect. And if we don't do it, this is what's going to happen. I believe they're going to say, listen, what we need anyway, since the internet is international, we need international law over this thing. We need the United Nations over it. And there'll be the UN police, and then they'll take over the CAN organization who hands out the CAN organization that hands out all the URLs, and they'll be all over it. Our president's for that. Reportedly, he already signed documents in the United Nations. You know, reports are that this is where he wants it to go. There's an unstoppable voting bloc of Muslims who hate Jews and hate Christians in the United Nations. Yeah. And we get back, you got to see this. If this thing goes this way, it doesn't matter what the Constitution says. If we turn over our sovereignty, which means it doesn't matter what other countries are doing, to the United Nations,
America,
as we know it, the experiment is over. You got to see about this unstoppable voting bloc, and then imagine them being over all your digital data, everything you're doing, your banking and your, you know, whatever you're doing. I think we need to be able to begin to make laws now that the Fourth Amendment fits into our digital data. But after this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We spend our whole lives searching for meaning and direction, for something that makes sense. The Bible is supposed to offer that clarity. Is that how it works, though? Because if the Bible is that enlightening, why do so few people spend so little time in it? Maybe we're missing something. Sure, the Bible is the story of God, but it's also our story. If we take God out of the Bible, there is no Bible. But if we take people out of the Bible, there isn't a Bible either. The Bible is our story, with God in the middle of it, as he has always been. Maybe things are about to change. Maybe direction and clarity can actually be found. You can go through the whole Bible using the time you could otherwise waste, and you'll be among friends. That might just change everything. Look in the mirror. Remember today, because time in the scriptures are going to start shifting things. In a month, you're going to realize that you're not alone. Look back in the mirror in a year, and you'll realize that the Bible has changed the way you look at just about everything. It'll be like coming home. The search is over.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Imagine if all of your information, all of your papers, your mortgages, your data on driver's license, your banking, your company's website, your data base of your company, and all that stuff that's online, power grids and all that, that presently, although it reaches the world, it's governed by America and the Constitution. Imagine if those who are trying to get this pushed internationally and to put it the control of the internet up under the United Nations oversight over it, which means international law kicks in, which means it would undo the Constitution. Doesn't matter what the Fourth Amendment says. Mm-hmm. And presently, the United Nations, you're about to see what they do to Israel, and understand they feel predominantly the Islam feels about what they the same thing they feel about Israel is the same thing they feel about America. They actually give America the credit for standing with Israel. They blame America for it. So when they talk about saying statements like the little Satan and the big Satan, unquote, what they're talking about is they're wanting to harm. America, they want to harm Israel. And so now imagine just giving. And so what you have inside the United Nations, say, for example, if you have 10 people that are going to vote, and imagine if seven of them always vote the same way. It doesn't matter what you say.
Yeah.
It's going to go the way of the seven. That's called a voting block. And it's an unstoppable voting block. Guess what? Islam has an unstoppable voting block in the United Nations. Imagine what's going to happen if the internet goes up under all this data that we don't have this Fourth Amendment protection over right now, that companies are giving away, corporation, Facebook's giving away reportedly, Google reportedly is giving away. Others,
communications, AT&T.
Yeah, AT&T's giving away. Now imagine that being up under the United Nations. So now imagine yourself being Israel when you hear about this unstoppable voting block in the United Nations. They do not need to be over America. Listen up.
No matter how you feel about the United Nations, it's the one place on planet Earth where nations get together and attempt to speak with one voice. That's why their resolutions can make a big difference. So when people all around the world see that approximately 40% of the UN Human Rights Council resolutions were against just one country, most of us would assume that country must be a really bad place. Perhaps ruled by, say, a genocidal dictator who kills his own people, or maybe a tyrant continually threatening to annihilate another country. But actually, the country that has been condemned more times than every repressive country on Earth combined is a democracy. The only viable democracy in the Middle East, Israel. And with these repeated resolutions against Israel, it's easy to see why so many in the international community perceive Israel as a major cause of world problems. But are all these resolutions really justified? Because whether or not you agree with how Israel is handling its many challenges, when you do a basic comparison, like the number of deaths Israel is responsible for with the number of condemnations they've received, and then make that same comparison with other countries, it paints a surprising picture of a possible double standard. What could explain the enormous imbalance? Quick history lesson. In 1975, Cuba needed to gather support in order to take down the biggest democratic superpower dominating the global schoolyard, the United States. Seeing how the UN was mostly controlled by the democratic superpowers, Cuba, along with other communist nations, finally found a way to even the playing field, because it just so happened that, at the same time, a number of Muslim countries were looking for new, creative ways to gang up on Israel. So the communists realized that by joining the Muslims' anti-Israel coalition, they could create an unstoppable voting bloc inside the UN. Because with every resolution they passed against Israel, they simultaneously discredited Israel's ally, the United States. So in 1975, the newfound communist-Muslim voting bloc spearheaded the passing of a UN resolution that officially stated, "Zionism is a form of racism." Yes, Zionism. The movement trying to find ways to protect Jews from racism was redefined as racism, which is kind of like saying the civil rights movement is racism and Martin Luther King is a racist. This is why resolution after resolution after resolution against Israel from 1975 until this day easily passes through the UN.
So imagine what's going to happen to Christians. What's going to happen to Christians if we just keep turning this stuff over? What's going to happen to the Fourth Amendment? We have to stand up. That Fourth Amendment is our amendment. The Constitution is our Constitution. It is your rights. Officers, police officers that violate those constitutional rights, they get consequences for doing that. Political officials that used to violate those rights, they used to get consequences for that. We want we really, dear God, have mercy, right? That we would wake up and realize we need digital protection over our information, which means we need to come up with new ideas and new ways to protect the same stuff we've always protected. It just happens to be in the digital realm now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just pray right now. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for this kind of wisdom. I thank you, Lord, for the grace that you put on America to be able to come up with such a document that just kind of shakes the world, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord, that you would give us a grace to begin to envelop this new reality of our products, our things, that we would still have the Fourth Amendment rights, that we'd still have First Amendment rights and Second Amendment rights, God, that we wouldn't go up under the United Nations, God, but we'd have new leadership in this country that just said, we're going to be a nation that goes after God and honors God, has a fear of God, and turn back to the original intent of a Judeo-Christian nation, and we're going to stand with Israel. God, we just ask you for that. Dear God, end abortion in this land, dear God. End this blatant disregard for the law in regards to the Constitution. We ask you, Lord, that you would send revival. God, send a third great awakening, yes, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.